Allah subhanahu created Adam and Eve and then sent them down to this dunya. The word dunya means something that is lowly. Even when Allah sent Adam and Eve to this world, He used the word ihbita minha, meaning go down from this paradise. It's a descension, it's a coming down. So the dunya, in contrast to the ulia, which means something that is of higher form, higher standard, higher quality. So this status of the dunya, of being a lower form of living, has created certain beliefs around it by some people. Some people think that the dunya in its entirety, and that everything in the dunya or in this world is evil or it's bad. So they renounce the dunya, the world, especially wealth. They think that money is evil, wealth is bad, and it's a sin to be wealthy. That if someone's wealthy, that person is sinning or must be a sinner. Some even go far to use the status of this dunya as an excuse to be lazy. Oh, I'm not going to work to provide for my family properly because this is the dunya. I'm not going to be involved in the dunya. I'd rather sit home, sit on the couch, and spend time in front of the TV instead of properly providing a proper residence, food, provision for my family. And some of them get these beliefs about wealth from the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, اطلعت في الجنة فرأيت أكثر أهلها الفقراء. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I took a glance at paradise and I saw that most of the inhabitants of paradise were poor people. So their conclusion is that since most of the people in paradise are poor, we should be poor too, and that will get us into paradise. But that is an incorrect belief, because poverty is not an act of worship. Poverty will not get anyone into paradise, and that's not the definition or the meaning of the hadith. Rather, eradicating poverty is an act of worship. And this is why zakat was legislated. This is why sadaqah, charity, has been legislated in Islam. And so, poverty is not a virtue. But what is meant by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is a statistical hadith. Since if we look over history, most of the people that are on this earth are not the richest, the top 1%. Most of the people throughout history and today, and most probably in the future, if we look at the world today, most of the people live in poverty. And so we find that this incorrect belief is repudiated by many instances in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Sulaiman alayhi salam, where he says, Inni ahbabtu hubba al-khayri an dhikrillah. Where he says, I have intense love for wealth out of the remembrance of Allah. Can you imagine? A prophet of Allah saying, I have love for wealth. And what's interesting here is, he didn't say, I love wealth. He said, ahbabtu hubba al-khayri. I have love for the love of wealth. Literally, meaning I intensely love wealth out of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu. And what's also interesting here is the word that he chose, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose for the word wealth in Arabic is khair. Inni ahbabtu hubbal khairi. Khair in Arabic means good. Wealth is being labeled here as something good, where Sulaiman alayhi salam is saying, I love wealth, calling it good. And we find this in the Quran as well. Allah subhanahu wa said, Kutiba alaykum in حَضْرَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتُ إِنْ تَرَكَ خَيْرًا الْوَصِيَّةِ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it has been prescribed upon you that if death comes upon one of you, that, and if you leave any wealth behind, you should write a will. But the word for wealth in this ayah is خَيْر. Allah uses the word good. خَيْر means good, for the term of wealth here. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself also clarified that wealth in itself is not evil, but something good, something that we should ask Allah for. As one day the mother of Anas ibn Malik came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with her 10-year-old son and said, O Messenger of Allah, I want him to serve you. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Anas ibn Malik, who was known to be then Khadimun Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the servant of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then made dua for Anas. And his dua was, Allahumma akthir ma lahu wa waladahu wa barik lahu fi ma a'taytahu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, O Allah, increase his wealth, his children, and bless him in whatever you give him. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is asking Allah to make Anas ibn Malik wealthy, someone who has a lot of money. Anas ibn Malik later says, as he grew up and in the later years, he said, by Allah, I have a lot of wealth. The dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was answered. He said, I have a lot of wealth, and the amount of my children and my children's children today number 100. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here clarified that wealth is in itself not something evil, but it is something that is to be sought from Allah subhanahu. And so when Allah subhanahu says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً, that surely your wealth and your children are a fitna. For some people, the word fitna automatically means something evil, something that should be avoided. But that's not the case. The word fitna in the Arabic language means a test. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely your wealth and your children are a fitna, it means it's a test. It's a test in how you will deal with your children, deal with wealth. And the test, as we know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us with good and bad things. And so, poverty, if one is afflicted with poverty, it's a test. If one is granted wealth, it's also a test. So both of these are tests in how we deal with others and Allah subhanahu while in poverty, and how we deal with others and Allah subhanahu while we have money and we are wealthy. Are we stingy, or do we spend on our family, on our societies? What do we do with that? And both wealth, children, can be a positive force or a negative. It's similar to the Quran. If the Quran is misused, it can take someone to the hellfire. One of the first people to enter the hellfire will be the person who memorized the Quran, who used to recite for fame or for people's praises. The Quran was misused. Even though it's a sacred book, but once it's misused, it led that person to the hellfire. Wealth is the same thing. if wealth is misused, it can lead one to the hellfire. But if the Quran is used properly, if it's understood and practiced upon, it can lead one to paradise. And the same is the case with wealth. If wealth is used properly, it can also lead one to paradise. And the companions, they understood this. And this is why they said, ذَهَبَ أَهْلُ الدُّثُورِ بِالْأُجُورِ. They said, they went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained. They said, the wealthy and the affluent and the rich people have gone away with a lot of rewards. They fast as we fast. They pray as we pray. But they're able to give their surplus wealth away for Allah subhanahu. And we can't do that. So the companions didn't see being wealthy as something evil, something bad, something to shun, that, oh my God, this is a person of the dunya because he's wealthy. They rather sought to be wealthy because they knew that wealth was a means to enter paradise. So the Prophet ﷺ then told them that if you say subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, or you enjoin good or forbid the evil, it's also accounted for you as a sadaqah, as a charity. So we see here that the Prophet ﷺ didn't demonize wealth or the wealthy, but he actually praised in this context the wealthy for the good that they were doing and gave alternative solutions to those who didn't have wealth. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, الْمُؤْمِنُ الْقَوِيُّ خَيْرٌ وَأَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِ الضَّعِيفِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weaker believer. And the strength of a believer comes in four things. Number one, the strength in their faith and iman. Number two, the strength in knowledge. Number three, physical strength, being healthy. And number four, financial strength. And the Prophet ﷺ then said, وَفِي كُلٍ خَيْرٍ. And there's good in both of them, the weak believer and the good believer, because they all have some degree of these four. But the stronger we are financially, the more beloved we are to Allah subhanahu. So Islam teaches us not to be weak financially, not to settle for less or little, but to be wealthy and strong financially. And so Allah subhanahu has ayats, فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبِهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ. Well, Allah says, and move in the regions of the earth and consume from His provision, His rizq, telling us to take advantage of His provisions. Where Allah subhanahu forbade transactions and business during Jum'ah, but once it's over, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu says that when the salah, the prayer of Friday, the Friday prayer is over, then go out to the earth and seek from the bounty of Allah. Meaning seek His provision, seek His wealth. It was prohibited, now it's permitted. Where Allah subhanahu also said, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلِ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنَ وَاتَّقَوْا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah subhanahu said that if the people had believed and were mindful of Allah, we would have overwhelmed them with blessings from the heavens and the earth, meaning given them wealth and provision. So wealth is being deemed here as a reward from Allah subhanahu for believing in Him and being mindful of Allah subhanahu jalla wa ala. And throughout the Quran, Allah also mentions His names and His attributes, which make us understand that it's okay to be wealthy. It's actually a positive thing. Allah subhanahu says that He is Al-Wahhab, that He is the giver. And this is the name Sulaiman alayhi salam used when he asked Allah for a kingdom that will never be matched by anyone else. He said, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ Al-Wahhab, you are the giver. So if Allah gives, we should be in the receiving end of receiving provisions and wealth and money and so on and so forth. Allah subhanahu says He is khayrul raziqeen, that He is the best of providers. And so if He's the best of providers, there's nothing wrong in receiving from Allah subhanahu the bounties that He has given. So the idea of demonizing money or thinking that being wealthy is sinful and that somehow being poor and wearing ragged clothes and not being employed is an attribute of piety or some kind of religious significance is not found to be supported by the Quran or the Hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But rather, most of the Sahaba were wealthy and they were rich. Yes, it was their choice that a lot of them gave everything away. Like the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was a millionaire. He was rich, but he gave everything away. He gave valleys of cattle away to people. Imagine the value of a valley of cattle in today's time. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ was a millionaire, but he gave everything away. That was his choice. And so we can't impose what is optional, giving everything away. That's optional. As that to be the default lifestyle. And if that's not lived, then people are sinful. And so when Allah subhanahu sent us to this earth, calling it the dunya, the lowest form, it was not meant to mean that we shun everything from this dunya. But what was meant by the word dunya, that if you see pleasures, and if you see beauty, and if you see delight on this world, then that is the dunya form. That is the lowest form. Just imagine how the highest form in paradise would be of these things, of the beauty, of the pleasure, of the delight that we witness that is temporal. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us financially strong, as it's an act of worship, and that we do it out of the remembrance of Allah and out of worship, that we spend in ways that are pleasing to Allah so that wealth doesn't become a hazard to us. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ